Now 7:30, so I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for October 4th, 2021 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stow?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all of our guests to our meeting this evening. I know that several of you are here to listen to item number 5, which is the Sage Yard presentation on the Sage Yard levy. If you're here for a different issue or you wish to address council following that presentation, please raise your hand and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. With that, I invite you all to join us for our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Westphal.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda for this evening, I have no additions. Mr. Frye?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to look to potentially schedule a committee of the whole meeting for discussions about a potential TIF.
We will make that agenda item 9C. Other additional items from members of City Council? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snore is out in the lobby. Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended for this evening's meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved. Agenda item 4 is approval of our regular meeting minutes from our last meeting on September 20th. Mr. Frye?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to present the meeting minutes for council meeting of September 20th, 2021 as submitted.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the September 20th, 2021 meeting minutes as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. That gets us up to agenda item 5, and we are happy to welcome Mike McMahon this evening from Sage Yard to give us a presentation on the levy issue that's on the November ballot. Welcome, Mike.
City Council, Mayor, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here tonight to share with you this exciting project that, if successful, we believe will have a very, very positive impact on quality of life for city living residents. This is a project that's been in the works for a number of years.
And as we move closer to November 2nd, glad to be here to share the details of the plan as well as how we got to where we are today. I think a lot of you have heard a presentation that I've given, or maybe another member of our committee or board. If some of this is repetitive, I apologize, but I do think that everything I'm going to share tonight is very relevant to how we got to where we are, so I'll get started. Going to cover 4 main subjects tonight. Number 1 will be just a very brief history of the Sylvania Area Joint Rec District, the timeline that brought us to where we are, the details of Issue 11, as well as the items, the design of the facility, and other improvements that will happen if successful on November 2nd. Get started here. Sage Yard has been around since 1988. It was a joint effort between 3 community organizations that stepped forward when they saw the need for a unified recreation district or provider here in Sylvania. 1988 was a time when the community was rapidly expanding, and therefore, around that time, the Ohio Revised Code came up with a new concept called a joint recreation district. Leaders in the community at that time felt that the Sylvania community was a perfect fit for that type of joint rec district, and so they started the process of forming it. We've had a lot of success over the years as a joint rec district. The community has stepped forward and supported the vast majority of the projects that we've submitted. We started out with our first capital improvement levy in 1994. The main project that was completed with that levy was the expansion of Paysetter Park to bring it to what it is today. About 14 years later, we were on the ballot again. Large project completed there was the renovation of Centennial Terrace. Operating, 0.85 mils was passed in 1988. That was replaced in the year 2000, and then it was added to a little bit in 2012. 2012 is the last time that Sage Yard was on the ballot asking the community to approve anything. The operating funds that we collect today generate about $1.6 million for the operations of the rec district-owned facilities. Again, Sage Yard is comprised of those three different city, governmental entities, and there are four members from each one of those sit on the Sage Yard board, one of which is an elected official. The other three are community appointees that serve on three-year rotating terms. What's interesting and what a lot of people don't know is that the Sage Yard organization itself does not have any employees. I don't work for Sage Yard. I work for Sylvania Recreation Corporation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. Sylvania Recreation, along with Tam O'Shanter, which is a state of Ohio not-for-profit corporation, we have operating agreements with Sage Yard to manage and maintain the facilities that they own. This is a very unique but efficient way to present community recreation services to a community. When you take Sylvania Recreation, along with Tam O'Shanter, combine our two annual operating budgets, only 20% of funds come from tax dollars. The vast majority of those tax dollars go to the maintenance and upkeep of Paysetter Park, as well as other outdoor recreation facilities. When I mention this, the Tam O'Shanter facility receives virtually zero tax dollars. It's less than 1% of their annual budget. As I said, a very unique but efficient way to provide rec services to the community. So how did we get to where we are today? A lot of this started back in the year 2018, seems like a long time ago. But at that time, with encouragement from city officials, as well as township officials upon completion of their land use study, the Sage Yard Board was asked to look deeply, closely into a multi-generational community center that would add to the quality of life of the Sylvania community. The Sage Yard Board taking that responsibility very seriously, they started the master planning process. Before we got into anything new, we wanted to make sure that things internally that we were currently doing were in line. So we looked closely at all of our staffing levels, our facilities, our marketing approach, all kinds of things. And at the same time, we gathered a lot of input from the community through community surveys, focus group discussions, stakeholder interviews, and potential partner meetings. I think the most exciting part of that master plan was meeting with the potential partners that are out there. We're excited about the new partners that we have identified through this process. Once again, some of those partners came to us as encouragement through City of Sylvania officials as well as Sylvania Township. The STEM Center, which we're excited, is one of our new partners, as well as Sylvania Arts, are two organizations that were looking for additional space. They're very successful, but they were outgrowing their space, or in the Sylvania Arts position, they didn't have any dedicated space. They were bouncing around to different facilities all over town. So their initial thought was to talk to the city, talk to the township about possibly becoming their own taxing entity, somewhat similar to the Imagination Station. But before they did that, they were directed to Sage Yard based on the needs and the path that we were on to expand our offerings to the community as well. So through Strategic Alliance Partnership Grant that we received, we worked with a organizational consultant. This started back in early 2021, so beginning of this year. Went through a number of steps and are very, very excited to have Sylvania STEM Center and Sylvania Arts working towards becoming a part of Sylvania Recreation, where we can partner and, I guess, collaborate on our efforts to provide the residents with the best possible recreation opportunities out there. Sylvania Tsunami Swim Club is a large competitive swim team in town that is also in the need of additional space. They've outgrown the Sylvania Natatorium, so they're excited to be a part of this new community center as we move forward. And then we're also in discussions and will hopefully sometime soon be able to announce a healthcare partner in our facility that will bring even more outstanding services to the new multi-generational community center. So back to the survey. Summary of what we learned through all the different surveys that we completed. We completed a statistically valid survey, an open survey that was just posted online that anybody could fill out, and we also worked with Sylvania schools to get input from 6th through 12th graders. What we found out is that residents that know us, that use our services and facilities, really appreciate us and give us a 91% indicating either excellent or good. Those numbers make us really proud of the way that we do business and provide services to the community. At the same time, there are gaps to what we're providing. We found out that there's a lot of people that don't know what we're providing, and I think the best way to explain that is we don't have the facilities to provide what they need. So they were able to indicate what those unmet needs are through the survey, and the main things that came up through those surveys include indoor aquatics, an indoor walking opportunity, as well as adult wellness and fitness. For those of you that are familiar, Sagard is very, very well known for its outdoor recreation opportunities. Pace Center Park, Centennial Terrace and Quarry, Vernon Park and Plummer Pool, Veterans Memorial Field are all outdoor facilities that we do a lot of great things at. But Tam O'Shanter is currently the only indoor facility where we have the opportunity to provide these services to the community. Obviously, Tam O'Shanter is very specific as to the types of activities that they operate. So at the end of our master plan in the surveys, much like the township land use study indicated, we needed to look more closely into a feasibility study to really do a deep dive into that. So we got that started back at the end of 2019. We again worked with a consulting firm called Pros Consulting out of Indianapolis. We got things started, getting some great momentum, and then COVID hit. So we put everything on hold for approximately a year, and back in February of this year, we re-engaged with the community and Pros Consulting and started to share specifics about what was possible, what we might have in a multi-generational community center here in Sylvania. For the first public forum, we had a great attendance, about 140 people logged in. For the second one, about 40, and then 40. So we were very happy with that attendance. We got some great feedback, and we're able to take that and begin to design the general layout and footprint of the new potential community center. At the same time, as we were going through the feasibility study, we were also looking for the ideal piece of property to build on. We had four things that we were looking for. Number one, it'd be centrally located within the city or within the Sylvania community. That it would be somewhere close, if not on the University Parks Trail. That it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 15 acres, and that it would have a negligible impact on the existing roadways. The piece of property that we identified and have a purchase agreement on, contingent of the passage of this levy, meets all those characteristics. We're super excited about being able to provide services here. For those of you familiar, we are planning on being in what's known as Cobblestone Woods. Is directly behind the Meyer Complex and adjacent to the University Parks Trail. So meets all the criteria we were looking for and very excited to move forward in that piece of property. Now to the nuts and bolts of issue 11. What we're looking for is we are going to present the residents of the Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District to consider a 2.56 mil 28-year capital improvement bond issue. If passed, this will generate up to $72,425,000 for capital improvements within the rec district, with approximately $60 million earmarked to construct a new multi-generational community center, and another $12.5 million for improvements to existing facilities. This equates to $91 annually per $100,000 home value. The SageYard Board and those that began this process are well aware of the magnitude of this project. It meets all of the needs that have been identified, and a lot of people ask, well, how did you get to that number? It seems really large. What I can say is that if we were to try to minimize that number or lower it, we would be missing the mark on providing at least one, if not multiple, user groups the space that they need. So it was determined that we would try to hit everything we possibly could and provide a state-of-the-art, first-class facility for the Sylvania community. We didn't just pull the number out of a hat when it came to the $60 million construction costs. We worked closely with Pros Consulting, who works closely with Williams Architects, that specializes in parks and recreation facility design and construction. This is the estimate that they provided. This is the estimate that the architect refers to as soup to nuts. So everything from site allowance to contingency to the permits that are going to be needed, everything included in the $60 million. You can see that up here, the building expense to build estimated to be approximately $37 million. But when you put everything else in there, it comes to that just under $59 million. These are the things that are going to be included in the new facility if successful. We will address the needs that we heard about regarding aquatic facilities. We will have two separate bodies of water, one designed to be a family fun pool that you can see there. It'll have zero depth entry, perfect for the little ones, as well as water slides, splash toys, things of that nature. We will also have a separate pool, which will serve as a competitive pool that could host swim meets and will be USA Swimming approved. Down here at the bottom, community center will also include field turf area for indoor soccer, lacrosse, flag football, things like that, as well as additional court space to meet the growing needs of the pickleball community, the basketball, volleyball, all kinds of activities that could take place on the court. So very excited to provide those. Some of you right now might be saying, well, you already have turf at Tam O'Shanter, basketball court at Tam O'Shanter. Yes, we do. But in order to meet the needs of the ice sport community, we will be moving the field turf from Tam O'Shanter to the new complex, and the current fieldhouse space will be transitioned into a third sheet of ice at Tam O'Shanter, which makes a lot of people very excited. Also be a fitness component at the new complex with some cardiovascular space. It won't be a huge attraction within the facility, but there will be that space. We'll also have group exercise rooms. And then one of the most important things that we did here during the survey was an indoor walking track. With the current design right now, that's designed to be a 1/6 of a mile walking track, which is pretty large for an indoor facility. So excited to be able to provide that. And then bottom right corner there shows some potential shared medical provider space. That's a little therapy area. But just kind of give an example of what the possibilities are. Going back to our two new partners, STEM Center will have approximately 7,000 square feet on the first floor of the complex, and then there will also be a maker space within the facility. These are two things that are really, really going to make this facility unique and what sets it apart from any other rec center that I've ever been a part of, seen, toured, and is creating a lot of excitement. Also, down here at the bottom right, there will be shared community space that can be used for banquets, luncheons, conferences, seminars, birthday parties, you name it. It'll be flexible space that can be used for anything. But the Sylvania Arts is very excited that it'll be able to be used for performing arts, whether it's rehearsals and/or performances. We'll be able to seat upwards of 250 to 300 people for performances. Improvements to existing stage art facilities that'll be included. As I mentioned, number one, Tam O'Shanter will be, the field house will be repurposed into a third sheet of ice. Burnham Park and Plummer Pool will receive a long overdue renovation. Probably the most exciting thing there would be to renovate the existing pool house, which is, has good bones, the structure is good, but a few things just need to be moved around to make it ADA accessible from both the outdoor bathroom accessibility as well as the indoor locker rooms and restrooms and staff space. One of the other exciting new things that we're spreading the word about is a Centennial Sports Park. Talked about a lot of the things that got a lot of attention during the surveys, but there's also a number of things that got a good amount of attention. One being tennis courts, another being outdoor play space, basketball courts, and a potential for a new BMX pump track. Right now, this is a real big emerging activity within the recreation industry. There's a new one south of Bowling Green, a little town called Rudolph, that has probably the closest pump track, but it's getting a lot of good traction. People at the bike shops around town are very excited, and then also potential for a new inline hockey rink out there as well. So this would take place on the land that we recently signed a lease with the city of Sylvania. Stone parking lot, a little bit south, all the way to the Fossil Park driveway. That land is where we have eyed to complete the Centennial Sports Park. And then Paysetter Park, Centennial Terrace, Veterans Memorial Field will all receive updates as well. Some images of what those outdoor spaces could look like out there at the new Centennial Sports Park. That's a pump track up there top left. The others are self-explanatory. So excited to be able to offer those. And then here's a rendering of what the new multi-generational community center could look like on the property that we have identified. I'd like to thank you guys again for having me here. I'd be glad to answer any questions that anybody might have.
Thank you, Mike. Let's start with questions from city council members. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mike, I'm sure that you're having this question surface quite frequently, but it's certainly been a pressing question that I've received in the community. Many calls directly to my home and many outreaches through email. Can you help us understand a little bit about the conversations that happened between the JCC, the Y, and Sage Art? I know that the JCC is planning to do a huge renovation as well. The need for both, the differences between them, and how you landed where you are with the decisions for our community.
Sure. So this is the end of my initial presentation, but I thought that question might come up. So I do have a couple additional slides here. Going back to 2018, Sage Art leadership had a number of meetings with YMCA leadership. Those meetings started off very, very well, and there seemed to be a real possibility of working together. It made sense on the surface, I would say. Shortly after beginning those discussions, this is a spreadsheet that was provided by the YMCA showing a number of different examples of YMCA slash municipal partnerships within the state of Ohio as well as throughout the country. The different columns here shows the owner almost always being the city or municipality. This next column shows where the funding came from. So we've got city bonds, city bonds, city bonds, city bonds, city funded, YMCA capital, YMCA campaign. So five out of the seven are using public funds for the YMCA to manage the facilities. That's the model we were presented with very early on. That model appears to work in some communities. But from the research that I've done, most of those communities are communities that do not have strong full-service recreation departments. Those are communities that don't have recreation departments. There's a community just south of us in Wood County that relies heavily on the YMCA to provide their recreation services for them. As this was presented, Sage Yard leadership felt as if we were going to ask our residents to pass some kind of a levy, and just know that the only option that a joint rec district has is to pass a property tax increase levy. If we were going to ask our residents to do that, we wanted to oversee the management of those facilities, and that's where things became not so easy to understand on the surface. So in the fall of 2019 is the first time we stepped away from the table. We wish them well on their endeavors, and everything got put on hold after that. When we re-engaged with the community and the feasibility started back up in 2021, the YMCA reached out and wanted to continue conversations or restart conversations as well. We did that, and after a number of meetings where neither organization was able to present the other with a meaningful path forward to collaboration, and because of the timeline that we were on, in order to place ourselves on the levy in November, Sage Yard leadership decided again to step away from the table and follow our own path. I can tell you that never was $10 million offered to Sage Yard as a part of this program. If anything, it was them injecting $10 million into a joint program. But personally, I feel as if the message that's being sent by the YMCA indicates that they were ready to write a $10 million check to Sage Yard, and that just is not true. Does that answer?
Yes, it does. Thanks, Mike. I have a follow-up question here. Your chart looks like the Toledo facility. It says the owner is the city. City funded 50-50 capital improvements, 20 years YMCA. I'm a little confused about whether you think the Y was moving forward with anticipation of city funding as well, or some kind of a levy of some sort. Can you explain that at all?
I can't. I'm sorry. This was just presented. And remember, this was presented back in 2018, so it's not indicative of the new talks that are going on right now. But I don't know if the city was going to plan on floating bonds or what approach they were going to take to help fund that project.
Okay. I do have a few other questions, but I'm going to hold on them because I suspect they'll surface from other council members. So thank you very much for your response. It was helpful.
You're welcome.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Fry.
Thank you. So one of the things that during your presentation, Mike, was talking about the capital investing in the facilities, but there wasn't a lot of conversation about the operating costs of the new facility. Could you kind of address the ongoing funding for the operation of the facility? Because obviously you build something like this, it requires a significant amount of expenditures on an annualized basis for operating.
Sure. The discussions and the planning that we went through with PROS Consulting, who did the feasibility study, we were very, very straightforward to let them know that we wanted this facility to be as close to self-sufficient as possible. And upon completion of the feasibility study, the pro forma that was provided to us indicated that with proper management and reasonable amount of revenue streams being brought forward, we most definitely can be 100% self-sufficient. It's very unique in public recreation, but Tam O'Shanter, as I indicated earlier, is 99.99% self-sufficient in their operation. By setting good price points, by making membership attainable, by attracting potential sponsors and other new revenue streams, without question, we can be self-sustaining without asking the public for any operating funds. That is the approach that we're taking.
So if a resident wanted to utilize the facilities, like at TAMO, there's a fee attached to. If you wanted to go play hockey, you go, you know, there's a fee that's charged to that. Is that the similar concept you would be looking at for this new facility?
Yes, so I should have been a little more specific. So with a facility like this, there's usually two approaches to participation. So there's participation-based usage as well as membership-based usage. This facility will be a combination of the two. If you're participating in a basketball league that takes place at this facility, or if your child is in a swim class that takes place at this facility, you will not need a membership to gain entrance for that program. But if you're looking to use it on a more consistent basis for your fitness needs, for your swimming needs, for drop-in basketball or things of that nature, there will be a membership available for those that want to use it on a more regular basis. We are also looking into the Silver Sneakers program. We indicated on one post recently that we can't officially claim that we're Silver Sneakers until the facility is closer to being opened. But for those of you that are familiar with Silver Sneakers, it's a benefit attached to a lot of Medicare plans that allow for free or reduced entry into recreation facilities. We have started those conversations. We fully expect to have that for the active adult population that will be using the facility as we move ahead.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. McCann.
Yes, I have a question on the levy itself. It says bond 3 mils. Further below it states 2.56 mils bond issue repayment. So on the other levies that are on the ballot, they all state 3 mils, and then down below 3 mils, 1.5, etc. Can you please explain the finance in that? Because it's not 2.56, it's 3, but what is the difference?
Brian, I would have to check with the Board of Elections on that. I'm not sure why that wording is in there. Sorry, I don't have that answer.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Richardson.
Thank you. Just for so we need a clarification of kind of the scope of this thing, on letting construction. So $60 million to construct this new facility. You know, can you ballpark a comparison? Like, what did Tamil cost to build? I just want to get a sense of the scope of this project.
Again, I don't have the answer to that. Tamil Shanter was originally built in the mid-70s.
And I'm sure there's inflation adjustments and yet.
Yeah. Well, and there's also been a number of additions, different wings at different times.
And I was just picking Tamil as another facility, again, just trying to get a scope of, I mean, this would be one of the bigger projects the community's seen. Is that fair to say?
Without question, yes.
Yeah.
What I can say is that if I knew how to go back to that slide that had the estimate on it, that estimate came about in April of this year, which was at the height of some of these construction increases in materials. So that has a little bit to do with it. I will admit that I was surprised at the price tag when it came through as well. But again, we didn't come up with it. I think it's a conservative estimate, and we hope that it will come under that once these different projects go out to public bid.
Okay, thank you. And one follow-up question, something you mentioned earlier. Was there any discussion so far of what a membership this is going to cost for somebody that's paying taxes for it compared to somebody that's not, the same, and what's the dollar amount going to look like?
Sure, what we're looking at, and don't hold me to this, we're still 2 years away, ballpark somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 a month for, we'll say, an individual, so 18 and under for a youth or a senior or active adult membership. If we get into a couple, somewhere in the neighborhood of $35 a month, family of four or five, approximately $70 a month for Sylvania residents to be a member. There will be opportunities for non-residents to purchase memberships. Those memberships will be substantially higher than those for the Sylvania residents.
Great, thank you.
If there are no further questions for members of City Council, Mike,
Mr. Fry. I did have one more. If this is approved, Mike, what's the time frame for construction? Just one of the things I don't recall hearing.
Yeah, we've been informed it would be On the speedy end, about a year and a half, but more likely close to 2 years, which would put us at holiday season of 2023.
So 2 years.
You're welcome.
Mike, we appreciate the presentation and answering the questions of City Council. Would you be willing to address any questions from members of the public that are here today?
Of course.
I don't know if there are any questions. I don't see any. So, terrific.
I have a question. The home value, you said, you know, what happens if the value of our house decreases?
Again, a little bit above my pay grade, but those, there might be somebody in the audience that could address that, that's a little bit familiar with valuation of levies and inside millage and things of that nature.
I'll take that, Mike.
Thanks, Mark.
So effectively what this would be is what's called outside millage. So that if your home, if it passes in your home, it's $200 a year. We'll just use that as a nice, easy number. If your home value went down for some change in, say, a triennial assessment, the revenue coming into to the rec district would therefore drop on a linear basis. But if your house value went up, say from $200,000 to $220,000, your property tax wouldn't go up to $220. It would stay at 200. So it's set at a specific level. It's capped. But if your property value falls, there's a reduction in what your property taxes would be on that. And I see the Chief Ram behind me nodding his head. So he's been through all of this. And I used to be on the board of DD, Developmental Disabilities. So I was painfully informed of that over 12 years on that board. So that's why I offered to take that question for you. Does that answer your question, ma'am? Okay.
All right. Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. Feel free to reach out if you have anything else.
Will do. We'll give a couple of minutes here for you to, you can take your board out and the other members, and then we'll move on with our agenda here in about 2 minutes. Thank you all for attending. You're welcome to stay for more of the meeting. Okay. Chief, you had informed me earlier that you were going to have some new members of the Sylvania Police Department to introduce this evening.
Thank you, Mayor. So, as you and the rest of the council may have remembered, we have had about six retirements over the last 6 to 9 months or so for a variety of reasons. Some folks just decided it was a good time to get out of law enforcement, or they were coming to the end of their retirement program. We do participate in DROP. It puts a lot of the officers on a track on a specific retirement date. So this year, to start the year off, we had, I believe, 11 officers that could retire at any time coming into 2021. And about half of those officers, or a little over half, actually, decided to retire. So we've been busy this past year with the recruiting campaign, and we were very fortunate to have 50 people that took our civil service test. And as a result, these are some of the fine young people who have decided to join the police department. So I'm going to ask each of them to come up. Are we shaking hands tonight, or are we?
Let's not do that. Let's remain socially distanced, but we'd certainly like to have them introduce themselves.
So first I have Brittany Holland. Brittany attended both the University of Toledo and Owens Community College. She was recruited from the Idaho Hills Police Department. And she just, today is her first day. Okay, next I have Kyla Simmons. Kyla is a graduate of the University of Toledo. She's also from Toledo as well. Brittany's from Perrysburg. She's with her hometown in Perrysburg, Ohio. Kyla's from the city of Toledo. She attended the University of Toledo, and we also recruited her from the University of Toledo Police Department. And she has been with us for about 5 months. 5 months? March.
Next, we have Tanner King. Tanner's originally from Kenton, if I remember right.
That's right.
Kenton, Ohio, formerly the home of the Coon Dog Trial. That's the only thing I remember about Kenton. Tanner is a graduate of the University of Toledo, and he was also recruited from Ohio Police Department. Finally, I have Daniel Richardson. His hometown is Sylvania, Ohio. He is a graduate from the University of Toledo. He's also first lieutenant in the United States Army. And he recruited Officer Richardson from the North Police Department.
Thank you, Chief.
In addition to these fine officers we've recruited, we have two in the academy. This was a change for us. Almost 30 years, we haven't sent an officer to the police academy, but because of the demand in the field right now, we do have two officers who are currently cadets. They're at a lower training pay while they're in the academy. That would be Morgan Dietrich. She's from Monroe, Michigan area. Month in the academy, they should graduate in January. So, thank you very much.
Welcome the four of you.
Absolutely. Chief, is it safe to say we're not going to get any Christmas cards from Chief Wenslick over in Ottawa Hill since we took this officer?
We were on the phone to try that. We actually delayed the hiring process a bit so that they try to beef up their manpower, but they hired great recruits, and we're happy to take a look at them if they're interested. The officers that we've hired from out of those have been great ambassadors for our police department, so we're really appreciative.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Snorr. We are now down to agenda item 6 in our agenda. We have some street and utility issues to take care of. Agenda item 6 has to do with Ohio Public Works Commission grant applications. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first item that we have here is the permission to apply for Ohio Public Works Commission grant funds. This is for a Monroe and Silica project that has now been combined with the Silica Bridge replacement. They initially were two separate projects. ODOT approved us being able to combine these projects because of their close proximity to construction, some construction schedule issues. They're now combining it into a single project. The breakdown of funding for this project is the CMAC funds that we have for Monroe and Silica would account for $2,373,500. The Ohio Municipal Bridge Program that we've got for the bridge replacement would contribute $1,209,333. The OPWC funds that we will be applying for would provide $1,100,000 towards the project, and that would leave the city of Sylvania contributing about $1,710,992 for the project. The ODOT funding does have a requirement of 20% participation by the municipality, so we're a little bit over that. However, we feel that going after the 1.1 million through OPWC puts us in the best position to ensure that we get funds. If we were to increase that, we would actually start losing points on our application because of the size of the request. So we went for as much as we're comfortable asking for in trying to ensure that we do receive the funding. So, we do ask for permission to apply to OPWC for $1,100,000 for the combined projects.
The scoring criteria for OPWC are determined in advance, so it may change every year with a vote of the board. Those are predetermined in advance. So we are able to pre-score our applications, and then, based on projects that we're aware of being submitted by other subdivisions, do some grantsmanship and decide where we can go. And that's where Mr. Aller is saying $1.1 million is the right number to go for. He's been very good in getting the funds. There's been a couple of times that we might have gone for more, but I like this approach. And this is taking our participation in these two projects to about 27% overall. This is a very good project, a very good lineup. All the funds, the first two lines of that breakdown are in place already. We are talking about the OPWC, the 17.2%, $1.1 million. And it's my recommendation that you approve this application. Again, it does go into competition with other submittals from other subdivisions in Lucas County, but this is we've been successful, and we need to keep moving ahead with this sort of an application. You do have attached the next in your council package is Resolution 12-2021. This is to authorize this application to be filed. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 12-2021. All members of council, having received copies, I will read by title only. A resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to file an Ohio Public Works Commission grant application for the Monroe Street and Silica Drive intersection improvement project and the Silica Drive bridge replacement project. I move final passage of Resolution Number 12-2021 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of Resolution Number 12-2021 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 12-2021 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you. Moving on to 6B for Eldon Ditch Watershed Improvements. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This project was one that came out of the study that was authorized by council earlier this year. We are still awaiting the full study for that area. This small piece of it was identified, and we felt that we could move forward with it in trying to get something accomplished for the Veterans Memorial Park area and the Eldon the residents that live along Eldon Drive. What we found when we started looking at this is that the flow, all of the flow coming out of Michigan, the air northeast section of that's near the Moose Lodge and that residential area south, and then Veterans Memorial Park itself. There's a large amount of water. There's 5 cubic feet per second is the storm there when we get designing the storm. There's only 0.4 cubic feet per second capacity in the storm sewer that services the area, so we are grossly underserved in that area. Hence the reason for some of the flooding and standing water in that Veterans Memorial Park area. What we proposed here is basically an underground storm retention system that will go primarily between two of the diamonds in Veterans Memorial Park. We may get into the diamond areas a little bit, but it won't impact the diamonds themselves. But basically, everything will be underground. We'll take the existing storm system to this underground storm retention system. When the large rains come, they'll go into the retention system until the downstream system can catch up. And then it will release what water is in it. What water is in it that hasn't basically percolated down through the soils and has gone in a different direction. There's still more to come with that study. There will still be more downstream needs of that area, but this is kind of a quick project that we thought that we could get in and likely get. It's going to be that we consider this a follow-up project as far as the scoring. You just never know how some of the other projects are going to come, but we're hoping that we'll be able to get some funding for this project. The total project there is $298,477. We have had discussions with Sage Yard. They have agreed to contribute because they're a large portion of the flow there. As you can imagine, they have a large parking area. Of course, the ball bathrooms are tiled. So they've agreed to contribute $41,800 towards the project. We are still working with Whiteford Township. By the time we submit the application, we're hoping that we can also get a commitment from Whiteford Township to contribute towards the project, but we didn't want to include them here, not knowing if we'll get that done in time for the application. So, our application is not going to include them, but we will be working with them to try to get a contribution. We then will apply for $100,000 in OPWC funds, which would leave the city having a contribution of about $156,677 toward the project. This will solve the standing water that occurs in the Veterans Park area. One of the concerns that we had in that area was we anticipated that detention would be the answer there, but we didn't want to disturb Veterans Park. There are many memorial trees and plaques in that area, and we didn't really want to disturb that area. We found with this underground system that we believe that we can fit it extensively between two diamonds, and that takes care of that issue. So,
stormwater sheeting down from into our north border area of the city has long been an issue we've had to address. We addressed it decades ago when we separated storm and sanitary sewers in some of the neighborhoods. That solved those combined sewers bubbling up in people's basements in some occasions. So that problem is past. But the water sheeting down, the existing topography comes down from the north, heading towards the Outer River and Ten Mile Creek, and some of it comes down through the North Branch. These are issues that we need to address, and we have another one tonight. This is a good way to continue making progress on this issue. Mr. Fry.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Couple questions. What's the time frame on the project itself? Are we talking a 22 project, or what are we looking at, Kevin?
This will likely, sometimes you kind of have to go, you kind of have to go where OPWC puts you. I would anticipate this being a 2023 project. I don't know that. We could get slid into 2022, but I would anticipate a 2023 project.
And I understand a once in a 25-year event, at least the statistics of that. How many once in 25-year events have we had in the last 25 years?
More than one.
That's what I thought. That's why I was asking the question. How much rain is that? Do we have a sense of that? Is it 4 inches of rain, like we had a few, like last week or the week before?
I believe that was above the 50-year storm.
Was it? Okay.
The 25-year, I believe is in the neighborhood of about 3 inches. At our Monroe Street pumping station a couple weeks ago, when we had those rains, we had 8 inches over about a day and a half. We really fared very well. We only had a few issues of storms.
The time of the year and the saturation of the soil makes a big difference there.
Absolutely.
If the ground is dry as it was, a lot of it percolates in. If the ground is wet or worse yet, frozen, or there's snow on the ground, watch out.
Yep.
We do have resolution number 13, 2021, similar to the previous one, to authorize the administration to turn in this application. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only resolution number 13-2021, a resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to file an Ohio Public Works Commission grant application for the Elden Ditch Watershed Improvements Phase 1 project. I move for passage of resolution number 13-2021 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of resolution number 13-2021 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 13-2021 is enacted as an emergency measure. Back to the storm event last week or so. I checked that floodplain in Maroon Park, and even though we got somewhere between 4 and 8 inches of rain, yes, the floodplain flooded, but I've seen it much higher. It had a couple feet to go to be as high as I've seen it on other occasions. The river trail itself fared quite well. It was closed for several days. But unlike previous years, before it was paved, we had a trail going through there before, and it was stone. That the river trail, now that it's paved, did not need to be rebuilt or the stone leveled out on it. The asphalt paving does very well. The Corps of Engineers was not greatly in favor of that when we proposed it 10 or 12 years ago, but it has worked out well. All right. I'm prepared to move on to agenda item 7. These are for engineering service contracts. Mr. Haller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With the project that we addressed earlier for the OPWC application and the road silica project, when we did the original study and the preliminary layout on that, we anticipated that there would be two retaining walls needed, one at Maplewood Elementary and then the other at the library property along Silica. Once we got the survey information back in and checked how the grades were and how the cross section would be cut for the project, it was determined that there were going to be actually four additional locations that would need retaining walls. Now, two of these retaining walls are about a foot to 15 inches high, so we're not talking big, massive structures, just something to help alleviate the grade issues that we have there. So, but nonetheless, because there is ODOT funding involved here, that puts us into the requirements of several different plan sheets and design notes and things of that nature that are needed for each and every one of those walls. And unfortunately, those take some time on the part of the design firms doing it. We have been requested, we actually were requested for more than what we bring to you today. We negotiated with the consultant and got the fees to where we feel comfortable that they're fair and reasonable, and that at the same time the consultant is being treated fairly. So we come to you with a request to increase the engineering contract in the amount of $63,765. The design firm, Tetra Tech, is requesting $39,850 for their work, and TTL Associates, which performs the soil borings and determines the bearing capacities and things of that nature, is asking for an additional $23,915 for that work. As I indicated, we do believe that these requests are fair and reasonable, and we request approval for those increases.
Mr. Allen, I recall from earlier conversations when we were discussing the different intersection options, but there being a lot of concern about there being a lot of people that need to walk through that intersection all at the same time. But having these additional retaining walls, is someone going to look at making sure that those sidewalks are going to be able to accommodate those people at, you know, at the sort of beginning school and the school hours?
Yes, absolutely.
If anyone's in a wheelchair?
Yep, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Further, Mr. Aller, if this is more than an increase in the consulting cost, it's a construction cost increase as well. We just discussed the cost of this project in the previous agenda item. Are we okay?
Yeah, those costs are included in the cost for these additional walls is included in the cost that we submitted to OPWC for reimbursement.
All right. Mr. Fry.
And I assume that these, presuming that we move forward, these modifications to this contract would not impact the timing of the project, correct?
That's correct.
If there's no further questions, we do have ordinance number 67-2021 to enact this contract change. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 67-2021, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the amendment to the proposal of Tetra Tech to provide engineering services for the Monroe Street and Silica Drive intersection improvement project, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $63,765. I move final passage of ordinance number 67-2021 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 67-2021 as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 67-2021 is enacted as an emergency measure. On to agenda item 7B, Altera Drive Improvement Project. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a smaller project in on Altera Drive. The pavement is in need of reconstruction. We also have water and sewer that needs to be done along the street as well. And actually, those two issues kind of spearheaded this project due to breaks and some joint issues that we had. The estimated project cost for this project is $279,400. We had already gotten the survey completed by fellow Fenton Associates. We actually had gone out for quotes, and they provided the best price for that one. And we did that in 2017. It was our intention to do the project in-house. It is a fairly small project, and we had planned on doing it in-house. However, some of these projects that I mentioned, the Monroe Silica and Sylvania Bridge, while it takes more consultant time, it also takes more office time. We just haven't been able to get to Altera Drive, we would like to get that project wrapped up and get it to a place where we can do construction with it. And because Fellow Finch did the survey, and because Fellow Finch, we've worked with them in the past on other projects, and they do a good job with their designs, they provided a proposal of about $7,800 to complete the design of that project, and so that we can move forward with it. We would request permission to move forward with them in that contract.
This project also includes sanitary sewer, storm sewer, and water lines within the project area. Okay. Questions for Mr. Aller? Having none, we do have ordinance 68-2021 to authorize this contract. Mr. McCann, I'm going to go to you. It's streets, but it's also utilities.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 68-2021. Accepting the proposal of Fellow Finch and Associates, Inc. for the engineering design services relative to the Altera Drive Improvement Project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $7,800. I move for passage of ordinance number 68-2021 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 68-2021 as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 68-2021 is enacted as an emergency measure.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Aller. Going to page 2 of the back side of our agenda, we're up to agenda item 8. The next item has to do with entering into a contract with the Lucas County Commissioners for after-hours canine control services by the Lucas County Dog Warden. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the last 15 years, I think, 14 years, we've had a contract with the county whereby our police or whomever can call the Lucas County Dog Warden, and they will respond to our calls. It costs $2,500 a year, plus they bill us then for the time or whoever comes out. They are not requesting an increase in the cost for the next 3-year term. We've had no issues with it. So I would recommend this approval.
Chief, can you give us an idea how often we utilize this contact?
It's pretty rare. Most of the dog issues we have in town are just a loose dog owned by a resident. In the days of a stray dog running through town, pretty much gone as far as I know. Nine times out of ten, the officers respond to the area. If we get called about a loose dog, we will go out and try to corral the dog, make contact with the dog. And most of the time, a tag on the dog or the dog is chipped. We have readers to read the chips as well. So majority of the time, the officers actually reunite the dog with their owners. In those rare cases where we can't make contact with the dog, it continues to run or what have you, we'll call the dog work. But in my knowledge, in the last few years, we had one case, and that was more of a dog that were abandoned in a home. Somebody went out of town for a certain period of time leaving dogs, and dog warden assisted us with housing those animals. Other than that, it isn't a service that's needed on a frequent basis. However, when we do need the services, they're valuable.
All right. Any questions for the chief or Mrs. Brining? We do have ordinance 69-2021 to enter into this contract. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 69-2021 by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with the Board of County Commissioners of Lucas County, Ohio for after-hours canine control services by the dog warden of Lucas County, Ohio. I'd like to move passage of ordinance number 69-2021 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 69-2021 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 69-2021 is enacted as an emergency measure. We're now on agenda item 9, which is committee reports. There were two committee meetings held before tonight's council meeting. The first one was the Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting held at 6 o'clock. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, tonight at 6 o'clock, we had a meeting of the Employee and Community Relations Committee to discuss Resolution 11-2021, and this is discussing the five I's of disability justice. At the meeting, we went through exactly what that was and how this came about. And then Leslie Brining, she stated that this did not open us up to any legal liability and that it does not go against any of our current code. Mrs. Cavallini stated that it would be a good reminder to the ADA Act as it was that's quite an old piece of legislation. And then there was some discussion over the concerns of how realistic these goals are and what the consequences could be if we could not meet them. The group decided to invite Ron Volk, who is with the Lucas County Board of Developmental Disabilities. He is the vice president of that group, and he has offered to come in on the November 1st meeting for further clarification and questions before we decide to vote on this legislation, the meeting adjourned at 6:25, and that leads me to scheduling the next meeting, if that's all right with you.
Yes.
So November 1st is the meeting that I spoke to Ron on the phone today, and he said he was available to come then to answer any questions. I don't think we have anything else scheduled that night, do we?
There are no public hearings or other committee meetings scheduled.
So members of the committee, 7 o'clock work?
Yeah, okay.
I don't think we'll need more than a half hour. All right, then I will make a motion to schedule. This is a motion, correct? Make a motion to schedule a meeting of the Employee and Community Relations Committee to discuss ordinance number 11-2021 on November 1st at 7 p.m. in council chambers.
Second. And moved and seconded to schedule that Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we direct the clerk to post that meeting. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 9B, Streets Committee report held this evening at 6:45. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the Streets Committee took place this evening, October 4th, 2021, beginning at 6:45 to discuss the speed humps on Cushman Road. For the record, present were myself, Mary Westfall, chair of the committee, Patrick Richardson, Doug Hanum, Mark Fry, whom are committee members, also from council, Brian McCann, Katie Cappellini, and then from administration, Mayor Stow, Chuck Silvernail, Bill Sanford, Leslie Brian and Kevin Aller, and we did have a few guests with us. I introduced the meeting and then invited Mr. Aller to share his report. His report indicated that 33% of residents returned postcards indicating that they were in favor of the speed humps, and 4 return cards indicating that they were not in favor of them. That fell far below the actual 80% requirement for moving forward for an in-favor response. He also spoke to the fact that the street speed of 25 miles per hour does fall within the guidelines required for consideration for speed humps. He also spoke to the daily traffic count and explained what that meant and indicated that generally the policy requires a 1,000 car count, and we, through the observation of the process, there was a 317 car count. So again, that did not meet the criteria. And then he spoke to the speeding problem and how they measure the percentile of cars who are speeding. Again, that was a little more complicated, so I won't go into it. Only Mr. Aller could completely explain that, but it did not meet the criteria. So I appreciated Mr. Aller's explanation on all 4 of these criteria. We did have some discussion among the committee members, and then we did have some representatives from the community. Jessica Ray Kemper addressed the group. She just indicated that she'd been disappointed that more cards had not been returned. She had worked very hard to bring the petitions forward and to allow this issue to have further consideration from council. She seemed to understand that the criteria really hadn't been met, but she did express some concern. And then Peter Schultz addressed the group, and he really was focused a little bit more about what he could do or whom he could contact at the city for people who are not obeying the law, who are speeding or having other infractions in the neighborhood. And certainly Mr. Aller indicated that he would be happy to give him his card and he could contact him if there was anything of significance. There was further discussion, and members of council and administration agreed that it would be appropriate to consider more vigilance with police in that area, possible speed signs, meaning signs that go up that would tally the speed and show individuals how fast they were going, and possibly checking the posting of the speed limit signs, making sure that they're visible and that they're prominent. If the residents continue to have concerns in the future, they can reach back out to council for additional support and follow-up. No formal action was taken. Mr. Hanna moved to adjourn. Mr. Fry seconded it. Motion passed. The meeting adjourned at 7:11. Anything else from the committee that may have been missed there?
Thank you. Moving on to added agenda item 9C. Mr. Fry asked to schedule a committee of the whole for a tax incremental funding discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And our council packets, there was some information from Mr. Sanford regarding a TIF update that all of you received. And he spoke with me this evening and indicated that Mr. Grisdale would be available and interested in making a recommendation back to us with an additional information and an update for the October 18th meeting. And given the nature of it as in the past, I think this would be appropriate to make this into a committee of the whole meeting. So with that, I don't think there's anything else on the agenda that day for the 18th. Is there, Sharon?
I have no records of anything.
Okay, I don't either. 6:45 sound okay to everybody before the next council meeting? Mr. Sanford, Mr. Grisdale would be available at that time, you believe?
I will confirm the time. He told me that night would work, and I wanted to share to council that I'll give you his proposal, the guidance memo, as soon as we get it. We might have it by the end of this week, so then we've got some time to review it before that night and then submit you questions ahead of time before the meeting.
Great. So I'll make a motion to set a committee of the whole meeting for discussion of the potential creation of a TIF in the downtown area on October 18th at 6:45 p.m.
Second.
It's been moved and scheduled to schedule a committee of the whole meeting for Monday, October the 18th at 6:45 p.m. in these council chambers for the purpose of discussing a TIF district in downtown Sylvania. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is directed to post that committee of the whole meeting. Is there any other committee business to take care of at this time? Hearing none, the only informational item we had was, as Mr. Frye discussed, a memo from Mr. Sanford about TIFs. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn this evening's meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this meeting of Sylvania City Council is adjourned until our next regularly scheduled meeting 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, October the 18th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.